Hi, and welcome back to Unsighted, the internet's least reliable English lit podcast. I'm Chantel.
And I am Amy, this week's historian.
And you're used to us talking about books and plays and stuff, but we've been talking about plays by Shakespeare for a while, and we called in the reinforcements today with Amy's history minor. So Amy's going to give us a little backgrounder on what the Wars of the Roses are, why we're talking about them, and how they're going to relate to the Henry VI trilogy, which we're talking about next. How are you doing, Amy?
I am doing.
Good.
Yes.
We're all doing here.
We're all doing. Welcome, people. So today we're going to do something funky over here on Unsighted, and we are going to spoil the entire thing for you right at the beginning.
It's interesting how the plot is just so similar to actual history. That's wild.
Yeah, I am not a Renaissance woman or a Middle Ages woman. I am a one-trick pony. It's Canadian history. So here I am going to be talking out of my ass, and I have a PowerPoint. None of you can see the PowerPoint because we are not, well, there's your problem pod. We are Unsighted. So I will do this.
I will probably share like screenshots of this on Twitter, I guess, but I'll also narrate how hilarious this is if we miss anything.
Cool. Okay. So Wars of the Roses, not explained, by Amy in a Wikipedia.
Yay.
Yay. Here's the background. First of all, this Wars of the Roses is like a series of civil wars, you know, like Captain America and Captain America. but it's more like Family Feud without Steve Harvey.
Okay.
So that's kind of what you like need to know, I guess, for today. Think Family Feud without Steve Harvey.
So it's like one house fighting against another house, and then the king is like, name five things that you can't put in your mouth at a family barbecue.
Yeah, and they're like, your cousins? And you're like, that's weird.
And then the king's like, actually.
Yes, cousins. So what we need to understand here is that we have been dealing with most of the Wars of the Roses, this entire time. So this is a battle between the House of Lancaster and York, right? What are Lancaster and York's? Plantagenets.
Yes.
Yes. Who are French people, like me. That's the parent line here.
They're from the House of Plantagenet, which is like their last name?
It's kind of like their place. Like Plantagenet is a place.
Okay.
So.
Is it France?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This is a branch that came from France and then was again king of France shortly with Henry VI, actually. So fun. So I'm going to bring it back to Edward III. He was Richard II's grandfather, John of Gaunt's father. We remember Richard II. And if you don't, go back to like March. You'll figure it out.
Oh my God, that was so long ago.
I know. So Edward III, right? King Edward III of the England was crowned at age 14 after his father was deposed by his mother, Isabella of France, and her lover, Roger Mortimer.
Damn, okay.
Roger Mortimer, whose line is the Earl of Northumberland line, also known as the Henry Percys.
Daddy Percy and Henry Percy.
I'll go back to the Roger Mortimer of Queen Deposes King. Yeah.
Okay.
So I hated it. I hated all of this. I looked at the family trees and I was like, fuck this. So that's fun. So Edward III, you know, had kids. He had four kids that we need to care about, kind of. So he had Edward the Black Prince, who was Richard II's dad, but Edward died before he could become king himself.
Okay.
Capiche. Then there was a Lionel, not relevant, R.I.P. He died before anything could happen with him. And then John of Gaunt. We know John of Gaunt.
We do.
He's Bolingbroke's dad.
He's Ian McKellen.
Yeah. He's the Lancaster line comes from John of Gaunt.
Okay.
And then Edmund, the Duke of York.
Yes.
Which is not at all confusing with all the other Edmunds were Edmund, Edward people.
Yes. Everyone on here is named Henry, Edmund, or Richard.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Or Edward.
Or Edward. Yeah. So good stuff. What happened here is, you know, Richard II gets decrowned, right, by Bolingbroke, also known as Henry IV. And the Yorkists think that it should have gone to them instead, is what happened here. They disagree with how Henry IV became king.
Is that the only reason that they think it should be them? Because, like, birth order-wise, it should be Henry IV.
There were some weird, what are they called? Laws that were made about how things could be happening. Because technically, like, the John of Gaunt line lost all of their titles and privileges.
Oh, yeah, because he was banished.
It was banished. So then they came back and conquered. And there's like some disputed claims there. They're like, well, you lost kind of everything. You don't get to come back, you know?
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So important to note here, I am a Yorkist and Chantelle is a Lancasterian.
Yes.
And we are still friends.
Yes, because it's not the 1400s.
Correct. So where we meet up right now is at Henry VI, right? This is the play that we're at. So let's go through the Lancaster line.
Lancaster's boo is the title of this slide.
Yeah, Lancaster's boo. So the land and offices attached to the Duchy of Lancaster were located in Gloucestershire, North Wales.
Gloucestershire. Okay.
Yep. North Wales, Cheshire, and ironically, Yorkshire.
Oh, okay.
Because why not make it more confusing? So
not Lancaster?
No.
Where's Lancaster?
Not here.
Why don't they have it?
Did I look through all the acts of parliament to figure it out? No.
Okay.
I got lost at one point and you'll see why and it'll make sense and you'll be like, Amy, yeah, I get it. Okay. So on the Lancaster side, you know, choose your player. We have Bolingbroke, also known as Henry the Fourth. Yeah. We have Howe, Henry V. We have Henry VI, who became a king when he was 9 months old.
Bippy King.
This is important. And then there's Edward of Lancaster, who is a child. And yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm following. So we've got the Lancasters, which is the mostly Henry's line.
Our baby child here, Henry VI, the baby king, was deposed by Edward IV, who we'll get to. I'll explain why when we get to it. But basically, Henry VI is like the last Lancaster king. He has one son that we need to care about, kind of thing, called Edward of Westminster, the child king, but we don't really need to care about him that much.
Okay,
cool.
And now we're on the Yorks?
Yeah. So, well, okay, I say we don't need to care about Edward of Westminster, also known as Edward of Lancaster, but he was 17 when he died at the Battle of Tewkesbury, which is important because it's one of the most decisive battles of the War of the Roses in England, because King Edward IV and his forces defeated the rival house.
But it also means he has no descendants.
Correct. Well, yeah, correct. Well, he had a wife.
Okay.
Who then became married to Richard III later on, and she had a kid.
Okay.
Yeah.
So no.
No.
He doesn't have descendants. His wife has descendants.
Correct.
Okay. Cool.
Okay. York. Woo. So much easier to explain. So the estates of the Duke of York were spread out throughout England and Wales, with many in the Welsh marshes.
Okay. And not in York.
Also no. So a lot of what we need to understand here is that most of this is a Welsh war. Everything has to do with the Welsh people, you know? It's all happening to the left of London. And also to the right if you consider France.
Did you say left?
Yeah.
Why would you not say west?
Because everything you own is in a box to the left. Duh.
Everyone in England is constantly pointed north.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Excellent.
On the York side, woo, we have Edward IV, who is important in this story specifically because he's the one who deposes our main boy, Henry VI.
All right, and that's the end of the trilogy, and thanks for coming.
So, Edward is the only king in English history since 1066 in active possession of his throne who failed to secure the safe succession of his son for his lack of political foresight. So, that's kind of what happened.
How did he fail?
Oh, we're getting there.
Okay.
So Edward IV had a son. He had two sons, but one of them is very important. The other one is unfortunately less important, and it just confuses me if we talk about him. So he had a son, Edward V.
Okay.
He is one of the princes in the tower. So you might know the story about princes who were locked up in a tower and then disappeared. This is what happens.
I really like English because the subject object can really shift blame. He was not locked up in a tower. Richard III locked him up in a tower.
Yeah. So what happened is, so Edward IV, who deposed the Henry VI, you know, the York king, Edward IV, had a son. Then Edward IV died, and he told on his deathbed, he was like, I want Richard III to be Lord Protector of my children, or whatever. Which was like a mistake because Richard was like a bad guy.
Yes.
Richard III, the antagonist, and also the parking lot king.
Benedict Cucumber.
Yes. So he imprisoned Edward IV's kid, also Edward V, who was never actually crowned because Richard III is a dick. Yeah. So he will have his own episode. We'll have his own episode.
We sure
and
will.
You'll know more then. Richard III married Henry VI's wife and had a kid with her.
Okay.
Which is Fine, I guess. But that kid died at age 10, so he's not part of anything. Edward IV, who deposed Henry VI, also had a daughter, Elizabeth of York, who ended the Wars of the Roses.
Queen Elizabeth, you would say?
Yes, but not the first.
Wait, who is she?
We're about to get to it.
Oh my god, okay.
This gets complicated.
This gets complicated is the name of the next slide.
Fucking weddings, man, is where we're gonna end up.
All right.
Okay, so I just told you that Elizabeth of York ended the War of the Roses, right? But what you need to know is that there's this guy called Henry Tudor.
Yes, I know Henry Tudor.
Yeah, his dad was the son of Henry V's wife, Catherine of Valois, who was also sister to Richard II's child bride. So Henry Tudor had a complicated, somewhat illegitimate, I would say, claim to the throne, but he defeated Richard III. He killed Richard III in the parking lot. Or at least his people did. I don't know if he actually dealt the blow, but that's kind of what happened. He becomes Henry VII, which I know we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but you wanted conclusions. So he becomes Henry VII, which you're like, seventh? Who the fuck is Henry VII? Yeah, I know. Who the fuck is Henry VII? Henry Tudor. So he...
That's Henry VIII's dad.
Yes. So Henry VII married Elizabeth of York, giving the rise to the Tudor dynasty, which is really just like the Plantagenets recombined.
Okay.
Like, think about it a little bit, you know?
Because of cousins getting married.
Yeah. So Henry VII acknowledged the necessity of marrying Elizabeth of York to ensure the stability of his rule and weaken the claims of other surviving members of the House of York. Because he was like, well, look, you have a York on the throne-ish. Good enough.
She's on a throne.
That, I can make a joke. I won't. Let's see.
So, no, Amy. No. Make the joke.
No, making the joke. So Henry VII wished to be seen as ruling in his own right, having claimed the throne by right of conquest. He was one of the first ones in a really long time to do this, and not by his marriage to the de facto heiress of the House of York. He had no intention of sharing power with the Yorkist line. So, despite their marriage being a political arrangement, records indicate both partners appear to have slowly fallen in love with each other.
Okay.
And that's how the War of the Roses ends, and then Henry VIII happens, and y'all don't need my history lesson for that because you guys know things. So in the play we're about to get into, there's a bunch of stuff about Percy's and Neville's, and I got confused there, so we can always figure that out as we go. And if we need dates and winners for various battles, I got them.
Awesome. Well, we're starting in France, so a lot of the War of the Roses is like just percolating, like a little fizzy machine, but we definitely will need your assistance later in the Henry VI trilogy because he couldn't fit it in two places.
And the weird part is, like, Henry VI is not even, like, the coolest one.
No, it's definitely not.
Like, he was a sickly king. He wasn't, like, a king that did a lot of things.
There's a point where he finds out someone dies and he just, like, faints on the ground from a sit.
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of like the product of a lot of histories of inbreeding, you know?
He's got weak genes.
He does. They're not Levi's.
No, they're like the really crappy budget Old Navy ones.
Yeah.
Not like the good Old Navy ones.
Yeah. So anyways, that's Henry VI. And now you don't need to read the play.
All right. But we're going to read the play for you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry we missed out on your slide called Stabbing and Who Stabbed Harder, but I assume that we'll revisit that at some point.
Oh, yeah. As we go through the play, we can go back to the slide and then we can figure out who stabbed who and why was it important.
Fabulous. Love that for us. Okay. Amy.
Yes. Chantel.
You had something for us. A clean language, if you will.
Yeah, well, I feel like this is such a short episode. I might as well throw in a clean language while we're at it.
As you know, a clean language is a segment we've done on every episode since we started. And if you think we haven't, then you are probably losing your mind, where we talk about cleaning tips and household items.
And now sports.
Oh, sports. Okay.
Because we like sports and we don't care who knows.
Yes, that is a thing that I definitely am known for.
So I am a girly who has a broken ankle, but I like hiking and taking walks and stuff. My joints are unhappy with me. I was like, I'm gonna do a rollerblade. No, you know what happens then? My bones clack together. Bad times.
God, that's awful.
It's not great.
What an awful visceral description.
I mean, it's not great. It's why I don't rollerblade anymore. But I was like, oh, it's fine. I can just walk. I can be a walking girly. It's fine. No. Apparently, when you walk for 3 hours in a row with minimal cushioning in your shoes because you prefer to wear barefoot shoes than like sneakers that cram your toes together, your entire body hurts because humans were not made to walk on cement. So I decided I was going to become a bike girly. Now, you have to understand something about me as a human being. I hate bikes. I hate bikes when I'm on them. I hate bikes when I am a driver. I hate bikes when I'm a pedestrian. I hate bikes so much. I have a bike now.
Okay.
I had not ridden a bike since I was like 12 years old. I flew off in front of my handlebars on a gravel road and I never got back on.
That's fair.
Until I went to a bike shop and they were like, hey, you want bike? And I was like, I want bike. And they were like, okay, cool. A small bike? And I was like, well, the internet tells me I'm an extra small because I, you know, I did my fucking research. I cite my sources as I'm known.
Yeah, a short queen.
Yeah. I was like, I need an extra small bike. And they're like, hey, try this. And I tried it. And I'm not a small bike. I am an extra small bike. I told them this and they gave me the wrong size. And I tried to ride a bike and then I fell on pieces of my body that should never have that impact. It was bad. It's fine. I cried. It's fine. Don't worry about it. I was like, okay, I'm giving up. And then I was like, let's not give up. And I went to another bike shop. And then I had this really nice sales lady named Hannah, who was a delight. I tried on a bike. It was an extra small bike. We adjusted the seat. So my feet were actually on the floor and not flying. And I was able to ride a bike.
Very exciting.
And then today I picked up the bike, but they didn't tell me that they changed the seat height and I fell twice and now I have bruises. So
I think what probably happened is they looked at the bike and they were like, no one is this short.
Yeah. Well, they did like a whole safety on it. So I think they have to make sure that everything is like the proper length or height or like all the pieces are there. So I think they take it apart and then they put it back together kind of thing.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
That seems unnecessarily complicated.
Yeah. So anyways, I fell off my bike twice at a stop sign because I couldn't put my feet on the ground. My first indication that something was wrong was the fact that I needed to use a curb to get on it in the first place. That should have been, hey, maybe this is at the wrong height. Anyways, it's fine. I figured it out. I walked home in tears with my bike. And then I was like, I'm never going to ride the bike again. And now I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to change the seat height and it'll be okay. But all this to tell you, people who are bikers, cyclists, cyclers, people will tell you, you should only have your tippy toes on the ground.
I hate that.
They're like, you should have more than tippy toes on the ground. And I'm like, you know what? You can put your bike seat however you feel comfortable. It is a dangerous thing. You are in traffic. You are off the ground. You are going at speeds. I was wearing a helmet because I am safe and now I'm considering extra padding because I am prone to injury. But you are allowed to have more than your tippy toes on the ground. You know why? Because I said so. And that's clean language. I'm an authority.
So I happen to know why they say that. And it's because if you bike a lot, then if your seat is too close to the pedals, then it makes you bend your knees too much and then it damages your knees over time. But if you only bike a little bit and you just want to be super comfortable, like, yeah, it's fine the way we do it.
Like running will damage your knees more than that.
I have no evidence to confirm or deny that.
I am deciding.
Okay, you've just decided.
I am deciding.
Source?
Running is bad for your knees is the source. Cycling is not as high impact. So for the amount of cycling you have to do, you have to cycle like Tour de France every month. And that's not what we're doing. No.
I don't know if that's true.
We are going to places downtown to see things and grab ice cream. That's it. We're not doing Tour de France's. And like, your feet don't need to be flat on the ground for you to be comfortable. Your feet just need like your toe pad, like the full toe pad to be on the ground.
It's like the front part behind the toes.
Yeah, that should be firmly on the ground. Because otherwise, if it's just the tip of your toes,
then no, it's not helpful.
It's not helpful.
There's no grip there.
There's no grip.
There's no grip on the tip.
And then you fall and then your ass is too big to get back on the seat. And then you get caught underneath the seat. And then you fall once. And then you tell the lady who's getting back to her house, I'm good. And then you know what happens? You fall back in the same spot.
Oh no.
So today on Clean Language, I have a bike. I now ride a bike and I still fucking hate bikes. But my helmet's pretty.
It would be very excellent if one of our listeners was one of the people who was walking by or driving by when that happened and was like, oh, that's her. Yeah, that's Amy right there. I remember her. I remember that happening.
I know where she lives now. I've been doxxed.
I bet there were people who saw that.
Yeah. Amy's clean language is ride a bike in a way that gives you confidence and comfort.
That is a good clean language. So clean. Scrub a dubbed. Thank you so much.
Oh, I have also a fun tidbit. If you are new to riding a bike, like I am,
okay,
and you're like, hey, it's summer, what am I going to wear to go biking? The answer is jeans.
The answer is jeans.
So jeans are actually very good to protect you from road rash burn stuff.
Yeah, that's
so
fair.
I have a scraped knee, but you know what I don't have? Rocks. No rocks in my knee.
That was not where I thought you were going with that sentence. I had a picture of where you were going with that sentence in the back of my head, and you were just like, nope, going somewhere else on my bike.
Yeah, so.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Fabulous. All right, thank you for that.
Anytime. Cool.
So we hope you had fun with that very short history mini-sode.
We'll revisit it. We'll go back to the who stabbed who slide that we didn't really get to touch on because it's hard to touch on it when you don't have the narrative. But I hope you like this little history sidebar and you can now jump into Henry VI.
Yeah. And if you want to hear more of us talking about literature, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at UncitedPod. And we hope to see you in 2 weeks.
And as always, we're excited and available.
Okay, love you.
Love you. More than bikes?
I love you so much more than bikes. Words cannot express.
Put that at the end of the episode.